The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Do it to me, Mr. Cotillo.
Some of us have great stories. Noodle salad, good. Pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and good. Noodle salad, boats and friends and good. Noodle salad. But a lot of people, that's their story. Noodle salad, boats and friends and boats and friends and good times. Noodle salad, noodle salad. That's their story. Noodle salad, noodle salad, noodle salad. What makes it so hard is not that you had it bad, but noodle salad, good, good, good. That's their story.
Mrs. Landers was a helper. She cooked food in a wok. Mr. Harris was her boyfriend, and he had a great big cock. A doodle, doodle, the rooster just so quick. And I don't want my breakfast because it tastes like shit. Shoes make good house pets. They're cuddly and sweet. Monkeys aren't good to have because they like to beat their meeting in the office or meeting in the hall. The bossy wants to see you. Really make you sick. Your bladder gets infected and blood comes out. You're addicted, what I'm saying, cause it will bring you luck. And if you all don't like it, I don't give a flying.
Secure the template. Set the backside guide to appropriate lockset basket. The backside guide tabs include setting the jig. Possessing template. What the hell am I reading?
Give my regards to Broadway. Remember me to Herald Square. Tell all the gang at 42nd Street that I will soon be there. Whisper of how I'm yearning to mingle with that old-time throng. Give my regards to old Broadway and say that I'll be there ere long.
La 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 Conflict. Up. It's night. N-I-T-E, night. This is Cthulhu Chronicles Live again, wherever you are and whoever you are. Whisper of How I'm Yearning. My name is Frank Cthulhu. My name is the title of the show. Stay with us. We'll be here for as long as we like. Maybe longer than you like. Maybe not long enough. But we'll be here. And we are here. And this is time to do it. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. Still opened 24/7. I don't know that. I'm saying that and I don't know that. 24/7? I think so. I think bordellos, most bordellos, when they got to clean up once in a while, though, really, don't they? You know what they used to say about a good restaurant? A good restaurant is closed at least one day out of 7 days of a week. One day a week. About one day in a 7 day week. That's what they used to say. And I'm sure it's still true because, you need one day to clean up and just, because otherwise you're going to be a little shaky. Like, what goes on? When do they clean? You know, they're open all the time. You can't clean them. This is not a show about restaurant management. I don't know what this show is about anyway. It's probably about, you should believe me. That's what you should do. Believe me, because this show is about lies, the internet, and stuff that goes on just about everywhere. My name is Frank Cthulhu, man whose name adorns the title of the show. Wake up. It is night. Indeed. We're going down the Hallelujah Trail. We're going down big time. This time, big time. And I want to mention that in the collage there, played, I'm on this James Cagney kick. And I hope and I pray and I wish and I wonder that a lot of you people who might be too young to remember the name James Cagney, I wish you would look him up. And since I was on this kick, I've always been on a kick. He's just about one of my favorite, if not the favorite, actor of all time. Okay. And he's done so many things, and we had shared so many. We didn't share anything personally. He's one person I never met. Sorry, I didn't. We shared a lot of things that we do, that he did and I do, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Well, you got to familiar. The more I read about him, the more I go like, no wonder I like this guy. He's a lot like me. It's not going to like yourself. You don't like yourself. You don't like anybody. Okay, but look, the thing is, in that particular, piece that we played there, and, you couldn't see it because it's a clip from a movie called Yankee Doodle Dandy, in which he won an Academy Award for Best Actor playing someone, right? He was playing a role of somebody who was very famous on Broadway, a man who would had like 17 shows running at one time or whatever, and who wrote some great American tunes, real jingoism type things, including Yankee Doodle Dandy. A lot of people think Yankee Doodle Dandy is a song that goes back to like the Revolutionary War. And it is, but not that one. Yankee Doodle went to London just to write that one, you know, and called it just a bunch of baloney. But here's my point. My point is this fits perfectly into, I think, I haven't done the show yet. I just have thoughts in my head, so I don't know. It should fit perfectly into a show about information, truth, and lies and the internet. It should fit well into that because James Cagney played a role of a man named George M. Cohan, who wrote a lot of those songs that we all know. Now I don't remember one. Thank you very much. What is it? Over there, right? World War One, right? World War One song. Over there, and then you're a grand old flag. You're a grand old flag. You're a high, all that stuff. And it was all, they were all part of Broadway plays. But James Cagney, the thing I love about this, the ironic thing about him playing George M. Cohan, is that George M. Cohan, by all documents, not the interweb, not little things by people who just make up stuff. I'm talking about people who knew him, George M. Cohan, not James Cagney, right? He made this movie about the life of George M. Cohan, and they, you know, really, Hollywood was very much like the internet in back then. It colored and brightened. It covered a lot of bad things about people, and it made up things. You know, made mythical characters out of these real people. So sometimes when they say George M. Cohan, if they use legend to be like describing George M. Cohan, what they're talking about is the George M. Cohan that Hollywood created and the one that people, you know, knew that wasn't really a human being, because he was a human being, you know, so he didn't have like great things going for him. But he also was a classic. I'm going to use the word penis. According to the things I've read, this man was the major megalomaniacal personality. I had to bend over here to get something. Hold on. I know. Yeah, you have no idea what I'm doing. You shouldn't, because it's just disgusting. That's enough about that. So George M. Cohan, but there's my wonderful favorite guy. Dances, he sings, he does tons of things. And he is singing from this play, and he's playing George M. Cohan, who was the George M. Cohan played the Johnny, whatever this guy's name was, in the character, in the play, Yankee Doodle Dandy. You see what I'm saying? How this stuff, okay. So, and there's James Cagney, who was, by all documentation and biographies and stuff, was a wonderful guy. Okay, let me just say this without saying anything bad about George M. Cohan that I have read. I didn't know him. I didn't know anybody who knew him, except the people who wrote in the books, and I'm not going to tell you about that. But if you want to read, I'll tell you. Okay, I'll tell you one, because they're all dead, right? But if you read a book, if you ever get to read a book called Groucho and Me, which was written by Groucho Marx, who was part of that, you know, not Hollywood community, but show business community back in those early days. Fellows like him and other people who documented the time. But he knew him, say. So he said he wasn't afraid, Groucho, to say things like George was a, you know, he did some really rotten things to people. And so there. But that, you know, that just goes with the territory of a megalomaniacal person who happens to be enormously talented. Okay, when was I? Yes. So, in other words, and in these very words, people honoring George M. Cohan and his work, C. Cagney, who's a wonderful guy in every possible way, even as an actor. Okay, they see him playing someone, and they think that someone, George M. Cohan, is this wonderful person, and this great guy is part of this great family, you know, talented family who did all these wonderful things and contributed to Broadway like no one else since. No one. I'm talking about this guy. Okay. But, you know, so much of it is a lie, and that what I'm saying is Hollywood being like the internet is because you read things on the internet, you believe them, and you watch this movie, and what you have to do when you watch this movie is think that it's all kind of fiction. Forget about it, says Guy George M. Cohen, and just concentrate on James Cagney. And then watch some other great James Cagney movies, which you could see probably on your Prime, on your Hulu, on your Netflix, wherever you get it, even on YouTube. I believe you could buy or rent watching movies on YouTube and then put them on your television, on your screens, or wherever it is, on your phones, wherever it is you watch these things. You could do that. And oddly enough, and this is just kind of a coincidence, in that Yankee Doodle Dandy, the scene where he sings Give My Regards to Broadway, he's in England. And who is he, this guy Johnny? He's a jockey. He's a horse racing jockey. Oh, what are the kind of jockeys on there? I don't know. What are kind of jockeys? Anyway, he's a jockey. And he rode in a race, okay? I don't remember the exact story, but he rode in a race and the judges said, you're disqualified. You cheated. You're horrible. Okay. Which of course takes us back to a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago when we were supposed to be here and do a Kentucky Derby show, but we didn't because we had technical problems. But of course that's what happened. In this 2019 Kentucky Derby, there was a jockey who got penalized. He didn't get thrown out of the country, and it wasn't in England. It was in Kentucky. But the Kentucky Derby is really a derby, which is named after a guy named Darby, which is English, and that's the whole thing. But, so it's odd that it all comes together like this, and I haven't even started the show. So, you see how these things work out? I think it's remarkable. This is almost like performance art radio. And I didn't just say that to compliment us, everyone who ever had any part of this show, not just me, even though it's, you know, I'm the last man talking. I'm the last man. I'm the last person talking in the history of this show. And no, I will not be writing a book about this show because it's still on. And most people the bulk of people, the enormous number of people who are available to listen, still don't listen in great numbers. I don't know why. It's because we never had the commercial backing, and I'm not going to get into that. I'm just going to tell you this. Someone told me, they said, you know, what you do is more like, it's performance art, which is something very existential, very at the moment, zen-like, do it, make it up randomly, you know. And I said, okay, fine. And then they left. So that was the end of them. And who does it? Me. My name is Frank Cotullo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. So that's the whole James Cagney thing. Plus, I cannot... Hear that? Look at that. Because I write on, you hear it, see? Because I have a chance to remind everybody to watch James Cagney movies, the 30s and the 40s, plays a gangster a lot. And you probably heard his voice at the beginning of, in collages in this show many times. That we've done collages. Now, the other one there, of course, was Jack Nicholson and saying Noodle Salad. You've heard that before. That's Jack Nicholson. And yeah, he's retired and everything, but he was never as talented as James Cagney. It's my opinion. I deserve to have an opinion. And we like entertainers, singers. You know, we're drawn to certain performers for reasons sometimes that have nothing to do with what we think. You know, I like the way he sings. You like the way someone sings, and it turns out that it's the sound of their voice is hitting a pitch. Who knows, right? It's hitting a certain pitch, the way this person sounds, whether it's a woman or a man or a child, because there's a lot of kids who sing, you know. You know, you hear their voices, and something about it hits you. And like touches a part of your brain you'll never understand, never be able to explain that. So you make up reasons. I just like him, you know? Those are the reasons. That's what people say. Why do you like him? I know I used to ask people and family members and even like my father and my mother, like, well, why do you like him? And they would say, it's good. I just like him. I just like him. They didn't have an explanation. They couldn't explain. And they didn't want to be asked why. Now, another coincidental thing comes up based on what I'm talking about here. Because, and as I told you, I looked into James Cagney's past, and he only has a past. He's dead. But I looked into his lifestyle, and I read things about him, and I watch him, so I know that certain things about him were a lot like me, and we had similar interests. Okay, but this week, a famous movie star from a little after his era, although Cagney worked until, you know, late 50s, early 60s, and then he retired. A lady named Doris Day. I don't know if you've ever seen her. Some of you younger people, I know some of you older people, or my generation have. Doris Day was an actress, a very famous actress, in a lot of movies, a little bit 50s more, 50s and 60s or what have you. She's 97 years old, and she died, and that's a very good age to die, I guess. I don't know. I haven't died at 97, but I got a feeling that, you know, 30 years from now, if I'm still here, I'll go, you know what, there's a good time to kick it off. But I'll tell you what I mean about being drawn to her. And people said, oh, God, you know, when people die, celebrities die, people tend to say the nicest things about them, and people come out of the woodwork. Oh, she was so wonderful. People who worked with her, you know, nobody, they don't say anything bad. Even if there's something bad, they hide it or they don't say it, because why bring it up anymore, right? But here's the deal. When Doris Day died, I felt nothing based on, and I know what it's based upon, okay? It's based upon one song. She sang songs too. She sang them in movies. But she sang this song that to this day I hate. Now, I use the word hate because I hate it. Look up the definition. You want? I'll look it up. No, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean. Five famous words to explain everything. I never liked Doris Day. And exploring my disdain for her as a performer, I didn't know her. I knew of her son, who was a 60s type guy, but let's not go there. He's also dead. And I was sorry when he died. Okay. Anyway, she sang a song called Que Sera, Sera, and had a huge hit. This song and her recording of it was so huge in the 50s, late 50s, mid 50s, that Alfred Hitchcock used her in a movie. Oh, now you have to look up Alfred Hitchcock. I hope you have your notebook with you. But anyway, you'll know this, and you'll listen to it again, or so you'll tell it to somebody, and they'll tell you, I don't know, look it up. There was this movie, this Alfred Hitchcock made a movie, she was in it, and it was such a big hit, this Que Sera, Sera, that they made that there was a scene in the movie where she sang it, which was just way, way out there, you know? It just not necessary. But that's not why, totally. Now, I never liked the song in the first place from the moment I heard it on the radio and when I was a kid. But here's what happened. People were singing that song. All sorts of singers were singing that song. These days, no internet, no phone, internets, no nothing, just TV. You know, three channels. No, well, a couple, more than three channels, but three networks. Okay, fine. And variety shows. And people would come on, sing hits that were current hits, and they'd sing it. Now, here's why I hated it. No, here's another reason I hate it. This is what made me hate, go from like, I don't like it, I don't want to listen to it, to I deplore this song. And they play it a lot when she's singing it, but even when she's not singing it. I hate her version of it. I hate every version of it, okay? It's it's Spanish. Que Sera, Sera. Means whatever will be, will be. Which in itself, which is like saying, it is what it is. Which is like, you know, KS, KS. I go, KS, KS, KS. My mother, who did not sing, never sang. My mother never even hummed. But when every time that song came on, whether someone was singing it, Doris Day or not, or every time it came on the radio, my mother would start to sing it. Okay. My mother didn't sing. My mother couldn't sing. And the very sound of my mother singing on a song that I deplored made me deplore the singer, Not just her, not my deplore my mother, but I hate her when she sang it. And then what she did was once she realized I didn't like it, she taunted me. And any time it came on, she would sing it. That's the only time, only thing she'd ever sing. I never heard her belt a note out. I never heard her even hum. Que Sera Sera came on. And as a child, I don't know why, you know, I mean, I didn't like the song. Didn't like Doris Day singing the song. I know my mother was singing it. Then there's something psychological went on there. And I just was like, oh no, and we're talking about, what am I? I don't know, 7, 8, 6, 7, 8, 9? It was before 10 because we lived in the apartment before we lived in a full house. Full house? Yeah, full, it was a full house. Before we went to, moved into a house that my father bought. But okay, I hated it. I hated it. And I hate it now. And if someone starts singing it, I'll walk out the room, you know? Or I'll make fun of them, or I'll do something. Because I hear my mother doing it. There's something deeply psychological about hating a song and then intensely hating it and like getting sick just hearing it. Because my mother would sing along and the only song she sang along. And if I ever find myself humming it or whatever, I hit myself. You know, I do like, you know what they say about, you know, smoking sometimes, like every time, you know, wear a rubber band around your wrist. And when you get the craving, snap it so that it hits you. And then something about the pain is supposed to register into your brain and say, smoke, hit, smoke hurts, smoking hurts, smoke it, right? Well, that's, you know, that's it. And my mother singing, Que Sera Sera. Oh. And I think there was something psychological, not just psychological, something philosophical I hated about it. Whenever we'll be, that's it, that's it. I don't know, something hit me that I could go into therapy for years, although I never talked about this in therapy, to my recollection. When you're in therapy, you forget a lot of, if you're in many sessions, you know, over years or whatever, or months or whatever, you don't remember everything you said. But I don't know if that came up, but it's something deeply disturbing to me. More disturbing than so many things. My mother trying to sing or singing along to Que Sera Sera. Now, why don't you see if you like that song? Anyone who wants to look it up on YouTube or, you know, Spotitube or YouTube-ify or whatever it is, wherever you go for your music, listen to anybody singing it. But don't listen to, I was going to say Dennis Day, who was another singer. I mean, it's Doris Day, not related to Doris Day. If you want to hear Doris Day, who just died of 97. So, and it's unfair. I didn't like her as an actress, but you know, I didn't care. You know, you don't like someone, you don't go, oh geez, I wish that guy, that person would die. And you know, no less, you know, in this case, well, hey, live a long life. 97, what else are you going to do, right? I mean, you're going to go to 98 or whatever. So, but I never liked her. And so, it came up this week when she died. And I just didn't talk to anybody about it. But someone said, you know, Doris Day died. Well, yeah, I heard. Bingo, over. That's it. So it's a performance art, okay? And that's what I'm talking about because I was going to tell you about that too because I found out something on the interweb that really shocked me. I'm talking about shocked me. And eventually, will I get into the topic? Sure. And this is true because I found out something that by chance, all right, because I didn't put two and two together, and that's this. There's a cultural, in the African-American community, there's a cultural phrase, there's a phrase that their culture, I think it's a street culture. I guess it's a street, although, you know, you'll hear other African-Americans, you know, rich African-Americans, they'll say it. It's a catch thing, you know? And I guess you'll hear Caucasians say it, but it's not that. In other words, it's not theirs. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to the African-American community. And this is the phrase, and I know you've heard it. It's just something that rolls out when you see something that works or you feel something that works. You'll say... They'll say, I never said it, I might have said it in context as a phrase I would use to point something out, but not as a cultural, you know, phrase, as a euphemism. Is it a euphemism? I don't know. But here it is. This is what I'm talking about. And that's it. That was it. That's what I'm talking about. You've heard people say that, right? You see something? You know, did you ever see a guy wrestle a guy and then take his head off? And then they show you something, you go, that's what I'm talking about. Or if you feel really good or you ask somebody to do something, you go, that's what I'm talking about. I don't do that. That phrase doesn't come up because it didn't come up in my cultural sphere. But here's what's fascinating to me. The other day, while I'm working, once in a while, I don't put on a movie or anything, because when you do watch a movie, no. I put on Comcast as a service, you know, like Music Choice, it's called. And the Music Choice has various genres of music. You put it on, and then they just play. And they give you misinformation, which is another reason how I got into this particular topic, which I haven't totally gotten into yet. Okay, but so I'm listening to that, and I hear a song, a record. It's a record, you know, a song from classic rock. They call it now, right? Okay, Jimi Hendrix had a couple of records, songs, tracks on albums, whatever we want to call these, that rock and roll bands like the one I was in back in the '60s and 70s, rock and roll bands would do covers, which mean we would do the song. It's not him. He's known for doing it. Someone else does it. It's called the cover. All right. So, there's one which I forgot about because, you know, you hear about Purple Haze, you know, and I remember I was going like, wow, my band used to do that song, but this one came up and I went, wow, my band used to do this song. So I listened to it because I haven't heard it in years. I don't put on these songs, but, you know, records and stuff, I don't do that. I don't stop and listen to things I used to listen to. If they pop up somewhere, I go, okay, fine. But here comes Fire. I think it's called Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire. I think it's called Fire. Or maybe it's parens, Let Me Stand Next to Your, and then it says Fire. There's a number of, there was Fire by another group somewhere, another group, I forgot, Screaming Jack Hawkins or something. No, Jack Hawkins was an actor. No, forget it. My kaleidoscope mind is moving around and changing shapes regularly. Shapes being thoughts. Fire. Let's just say Fire. Let me stand next to your fire. Bum, 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 bam, bam, bam. You know, I never could play like Jimi Hendrix, but I imitated the particular pieces of records when I was a lead guitarist. Boy, yikes, me, a lead guitarist. But anyway, I did that, and, we do these songs that were popular. So we did Fire because Jimi Hendrix was becoming very popular. And when we played at dances and various places, they go, hey, but here's what I heard in the lyric of this record that I never heard or don't remember hearing, just like I don't remember saying things in therapy. Did not recall this. There's a point where he talks. You know, he's going, he's doing this riff, you know, and he goes, you know, listen to Jimmy, you know, he'll say things like, listen to Jimmy, you know, yeah, you know how rock people did that. And Jimi Hendrix did a lot too. But Jimi Hendrix at one point goes, and then the drummer goes, and he goes, that's what I'm talking about. He said, that's what I'm talking about. And I'm going, wow, I think we found the origin, because the origin of that phrase being used that way from an African-American Jimi Hendrix. And, right? Maybe, I don't know how these things develop and how they spread. I don't know how they go viral or how they become part of the jargon or lexicon of any particular culture. But that's what I'm talking about, is a lyric in that song. You hear this a lot. You hear the phrase a lot in lots of different places. And you hear it, you know what? A lot of people know it from porn, because African-American guys in porn say that a lot. And if you have African-American friends or you know them, you will hear it. Or you may have heard it on, The Last OG or some other show where there or a movie where African-American youths said it. But, you know, you've heard it, and I know you've probably heard it from Caucasians or an Italian Americans and Irish Americans. I don't know where you heard it. What do I know? But you know what I mean. You know what I mean. There's the other one. That's a different one altogether. Jimi Hendrix never said that. Maybe he did. I don't listen to it. I'll have to listen and find. But I turned, quickly stopped what I was doing, and I went, wow, that's what I'm talking about. And back then, nobody said that's what I'm talking about. And I knew African American. I went to school with African Americans. Jose, you didn't call them African Americans, but you know, so that to me is fascinating, because you could trace back Jimi Hendrix. He might have said it in a number of records. I don't know. I didn't even remember he said it in there. And so all this stuff that clicks together, and you know, you'd never guess. And I don't know whether to, now here comes another thing that puts us into this topic. By the way, my name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. This is Cotolo Chronicles, Y2K plus 19. Got right into talking about stuff too. I didn't want to stop and just tell you to go buy books. Well, then we'll either do that or not do that later. Okay. For now. Okay. Here's something. On that very, this is the segue I'll make. On that particular, on all of the Comcast Music Choice channels, they'll show a picture of the artist. I mean, a photo. Sometimes two or three photos. And they'll give you little pieces of information on the side. So Jimi Hendrix was born, blah, 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 you know, in this age. And then they give you some Jimi Hendrix, had the number one hit and whatever. You know, these little pieces of information. And people who are listening and watching, and if you read, people read those things. I guess it's not just, you put on the channel, it's not just wallpaper, because you can't help it. You just look at something, you'll see a picture, and then you look. I mean, I don't think people just sit there and listen and look, you know. But it said for Jimi Hendrix, it had some, you know, he had number one with this, or he, you know, got popular in England, or this and the other thing. It didn't say anything. You had to read it. Jimi Hendrix saw Elvis when Jimi Hendrix was 14. See, if I said the other way, we got incorrect grammar. When Jimi Hendrix was 14, he saw Elvis playing guitar and singing somewhere, I guess, I don't know, where. Maybe television, maybe whatever. And that is why Jimi Hendrix bought his first guitar. The influence, you know, Elvis and what he did without knowing it was a stone, you know, into a calm stream, and the ripples there was no end to the circumference. They touched the water, the ripples eternally. Because, you know, when you think about Jimi Hendrix, do you think about Elvis Presley? Do you know both of these artists I'm talking about? I think you do. And replenish your precious bodily fluids. Here I am talking. I'm going to be dry and in like no time. I'm already. I didn't bring down water. So there's, okay. But here's my point. More than once I have seen incorrect information associated or on the screen during the playing of an artist or a performer. And so because I know some things that not just trivial, yeah, of course they're trivial. I know some entertainment things. I know some things about records and performers and stuff. So when I see something and it's completely wrong, I just want to call them up and I want to get on the phone and say, who does this? Who is assigned to putting up misinformation? Because people see that who don't know it is incorrect, and they immediately think it's correct. This is the, right? Now, I know that's not the internet, but it is in a way. It's still the digital platforms because, you know, cable TV, you know, what is it? Comcast and anyone else and any all the other Netflix and Netcast and Primeflix and FlixNet and Comnet, Netcom, Netcast. That's when they all get together and form a giant monopoly and you can't do anything without going to Netcast, Hulu, form of Primecast, book, face. So you can't take that as gospel. So I'm going, and I'm going to give you a perfect example. I'm going, how do I know they're right about Jimi Hendrix seeing Elvis? Where'd they get this information? Because when this information is wrong, if it's one or two or three people, they're not people, they're not of my generation, or they would not get certain things incorrect. They're looking it up. Where are they looking it up? Are they looking it up on Wikipedia? Are they looking it up on just going searching and random on the interweb? Are they searching through certain websites and just saying, well, if it's here, it must be true? Right? It's not always the case. It's not always the case. And not just because they're hiding it like, I don't know why. Why anyone would want to just put something completely incorrect. And I'll tell you why. I was willing to believe a lot of things. I'm willing to believe them. And maybe he did see Elvis or whatever. I don't know the source of the information. But I do know that what is correct on there and what is incorrect. Here's the thing. And this really pissed me off. On the, I was listening to Solid Gold, I think, there's stations, different stations. They have Spanish, Latin, soft rock, hard rock, metal rock, you know, Gibraltar rock. And then on Golden Oldies, they played a record called Locomotion by Little Eva. Little Eva. Maybe you don't know it. Maybe you know it. I don't know. And I'm not going to play it right now. I could, but I'm not going to. But here's what they said. Here's what was written. So I was looking at it because, and I just happened to look at it because I don't remember what Little Eva looked like. And I do remember the song because it's a song about a dance, just like the twist. There's the twist. There's the Watusi. There were all these dances. And there was a dance called the Locomotion. Come on, baby, do the Locomotion. And it was a certain way that you move, which is what a dance, when a certain dance, a specific dance, has specific moves. We all know that. And it says Little Eva. Okay, so Little Eva was born. Okay, maybe she was born then. Didn't matter. Some of that didn't matter. But one point it reads, the Beatles recorded a cover of Locomotion in the early 60s. What? I'm with my friend. I go, look at this. Look at this again. Again. Misinformation coming across the most incredible passageway for information that the world has ever seen. The digital platform. My friend said, did they? Why? They didn't? They people don't know. And I went, are you kidding me? No. Well, I'm not going to, you know, blame the person. I'm going to go, yell at the person because they don't know this. What I'm angry about is that, come on, there was no such thing. And I'm going to tell you something. Earlier in that particular hour, they played a record called Please Mr. Postman. I forgot who that is. The Wynettes? Not the Wynettes. Some Ets. Which was another... There's a Smokey Robinson song. I don't know. They didn't put up that the Beatles did a cover of Please Mr. Postman, which they did. Okay. They did a cover of that and they have done that. A lot of bands did that. We used to do that back before we did Fire. Well, maybe after. Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying, that's correct. And wherever they got that information is correct, but it's not the same person. Where did they get the information that the Beatles did a cover, and it's recorded, of Locomotion? Did not happen. And this person, my friend, didn't know. Really? I said, yeah, see, here he goes again. And it wasn't the first time I caught them in a piece of misinformation. There's a ton of them, and it's there's no reason for such trivial stuff to be not made up, but to get it wrong. It doesn't make any sense. And this leads us into, when you know something is wrong, a source, don't you question everything? Oh, don't you? If there was a mistake, you know something. You go to Wikipedia, you look up something, you go, wait a second. I just read about this particular thing. Now, this Wikipedia is telling me something else about that particular thing. Who do I believe? Something's wrong. I don't think there's a reason in the universe for misinformation to be so blatant. It's sloppy, and it's bad, because when it turns into something harmful, right, when there are hackers. You know, I thought about running a part of the dark web show. I'm going to do that again, maybe one of these weeks that we did on the dark web. When there's like Facebook, the things, and that's another thing too. There's this thing on Facebook where, you know, people will put a photo, a GIF? What do they call it? No, it's not a GIF because it doesn't. It's a JPEG, and they'll have this saying on it. It'll go, all the love we give is what we take to our world, right? And then on the bottom it says John Lennon, and then maybe have a picture of John. They never said that. Isn't these things are misquoted? And because these people put this stuff together, you know, the GIFs or whatever, the JPEG, they put this stuff together, people think it's real, and it's not. And yet people look and read it because it's there. It's real. Don't get me wrong. And I've done shows about this too. When I talked about Neil Simon did in a play, wrote in a play about writers, about people, what people believe. People believe the most outrageous things when they see them because they think if it's there, it must be correct. You know, I mean, assuming something is correct, assuming something is information, researched, correct, is outrageous in this day and age. You know, it's a little bit more excusable way back when. You know, only had certain, when it was an effort to have to write, to document things. But today, and over the past 20 years, at least, you know, since this show has been on, that there's places on the internet, you know, it just, that people just go and believe this stuff. And they do. And it's ridiculous. Here's my point. It's ridiculous that the most incredible passageway for information and education has misleading and blatant errors of information. It's just unacceptable. I don't know what else to tell you. And it can be dangerous. Million ways why. Not because just trivial information, but, you know, regular information of things. That's why, and I've told people here too, people growing up in this, digital age, tend to be susceptible to believing what they read in places that are supposed to be bona fide, correct, bona fide truths. And yet, they lie, and you can lie, and people will think it's true. I'm going to do a Facebook show one of these days, and it's not going to be pretty. Because that really place is really, I don't go a lot. I don't get there. I guess I met a lot of nice people, but things have changed at Facebook, and it's terrible because, I get on there in my news feed and there's people I know who posting these things, and I went, are you quoting people that never said anything, saying things that people never did? I'm not talking about opinions. You know, forget about that too, because you put up an opinion and then 20 people are going to tell you why you're a jerk because you have the opinion, and that doesn't, forget about that. I'm talking about, you know, Robin Williams said all these things. They put a picture of Robin Williams. I don't, where Where? Where is it? What's the source? You can't just put up something, put up a phrase or a thing or a saying or, and then on the bottom go, quote, you know, quote Robin, someone you don't know, just because somebody gives you this thing. And I don't know where they get these things. I guess there are JPEGs where you could go to famous quotes, right? We don't know. You don't know if that's correct. You assume somebody did the work. Somebody did the research. Somebody cared about exact truth. Wait a second. Exact truth. That's like saying this is inexact truth. No, you know, what was the name of the movie? Insufficient truth? No. An undeveloped truth? No. An unassumed truth? No. You know what I mean? Truth is truth, period. If it's not true, it's false. Correct. And kids who are growing up, like I said, they're growing up. When my kids were growing up, I said, hey, listen, if you're going to do your homework and you're going to look through whatever it is, then I don't know when Wikipedia came out, but if you're going to look at something on the interweb, use a couple of sources. Do like a good reporter does. Don't just look at one place and say that's correct. Look at three places. If there's a difference in the three places, three sources, if there's a difference, someone's wrong. It's that simple. So don't quote them. Don't use the information. Seek the information. Oh, there's more to this. The lies and information that's going on today. This is why I think it's shameful. This is why I think it's a sin. See what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? There's just no reason at all why someone is paid. And that's the thing about the Comcast. They're paying the person. Put up facts, I guess. Somebody programs this thing and looks up. Where did they find that? The Beatles did Locomotion. Where? This is the interweb? This is this passageway of a plethora of information and what? Which is what? The information superhighway. The information superhighway was called at one time. This, on the other hand, is Cthulhu Chronicles, and it's always been called that. I know they put some modifiers on it to yield their own opinion, but ultimately, this is me, Frank Cthulhu, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. What we're going to do, because we're into an hour here, is what we always do around this time. We're going to take a little break so we could all go to the bathroom. We could replenish our precious bodily fluids also. What does that mean? That means that, you know, you get to go to the bathroom because you don't always get to go to the bathroom, do you? And then we're going to come back and we're going to, we'll give you a little gravy waltz. And then we're going to talk about some other stuff having to do with this. And maybe we'll even, what's the word? Scout? Scout's not the word. Surf. Surf the interweb to find out some things about it. Then I want to talk about the, we're going to talk some more. And then when we're done, we're done. If we go 2 hours, we go 2 hours. Doesn't matter. This is just the way it is here on Cthulhu Chronicles. And by the way, you're welcome for the wonderful radio. This is it. This is wonderful radio. I don't mind saying it. I've been told by other people that it's wonderful radio and that there is no other radio like this. And I know that and you know that. So there. I will say this though before we break also. And that is this show, excuse me, this show that is live. I'm also going to get some water here because I'm never going to get to another half hour talking. Why is it so dry in here? Because it's spring? I don't know. This show airs on many other stations, but not live. You can hear them, and I urge you to support what internet stations, not because they play this show. I urge you to support them in all sorts of ways because they're doing it mostly out of love. Guaranteed, they don't have sponsors and people pouring money into what it costs them for the bandwidth and all the other costs, all right? So you must do that. And you can hear the show somewhere else, wherever else. And at juicedtalk.com, you can stream it or download it. Free. The show has always been free. here and there without some sponsors, but the show's free. I know your podcasts are free. You go and you get your podcast. You go, oh, you can download the podcast. But, you know, they're backed. They got backed by money and products. And I'm not saying that like, they stink because of that. I'm not saying that. They're just lucky enough to be able to prove the audience or have something going for them that allows people to put money into it. I can't go to, for instance, I can't go to Coca-Cola people and say, you know, I was the first guy who did this and people know about me and they've been listening to me and I've been all over, they hear me all over the world. Anybody can tune in. And then this show has had, and they can't, and they'll go like, yeah, so what? They won't give me one can of Coke. No less sponsor the show. So, yeah, I'm just saying, this is free. Those other guys and girls and people and companies and personalities who do podcasts would not be doing it. They didn't get the money. And that's fine. I wish them all the best. But this is free. And you can have it all the time. Anyone that goes on. And the archives, well, you can go way back. Can't you go way back? We go way back. And there's lots of things going on. And, like I said, we're gonna, for some of you people who have only been, introduced to, the Cotolo Chronicles over the past year or so, or even sooner, or later than that. Later? No, that would be sooner than that, or like now, like recently. What we'll do is we'll be, here and there playing parts and partial. We'll be playing stuff from, some of the shows that you never heard because you weren't around in 2004 and 2003 and 2002 and 2007 and 2008. Forget about 2002. Now, how about 2008? You weren't here, I guess. Probably not. Okay. So, let's take a little break. We'll get some water. We'll go to the bathroom. And you know what? I better put on more than just that. Let's see. Let me do this. Let me get a piece of, something else we'll put on here that you can listen to. While Elvis Presley doing Rawhide? That's a fake one. Flat Baroque? Wow, look at this. Oh no, that's not, is that right? That's not that group. Oh wow, that crazy group. Here, a generic background. This is what I'll do. I'll do this in case I don't come back in enough time. But I will be back shortly. And we'll be talking about what? This stuff too. Misinformation and stuff. And you've got, and this is, you know, for your good too. Watch out what you listen to, what you hear and what you read. Because there's a lot of things that are wrong and they don't have to be, but you're not going to change that world. What you're going to do is be sure that it's right by looking it up and finding out elsewhere. There are other places.
Cotolo Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
Little Earl Garner. Look that one up. Oh, yeah. You're listening to Cotolo Chronicles. It's it. Kitchen. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah. Snap your fingers, come on. I'm in between the beats, you hear that? You music students, follow that. That's jazz, man. In the kitchen, Miss Gloria. Listening to Cotolo Chronicles a mile away. I love it. Yeah. Y2K plus 19. Frank Cotolo is my real name. My real name is Frank Cotolo. I didn't come on to the scene with, you know, I went by some other names of doing radio at various places. One place I was Frank Michaels. And Michael's my middle name, my confirmation name. It's not my born name. It was Frank Michaels. Because, you know, Cotolo, what's that? You know, no, in the old days, you come up with names, you know. Like Frankie Franks. I could have been Frankie Franks or Frank Frankie's. Frankie. Frankie was a big name. I call somebody Frankie. And when I was a kid, they used to call me Frankie. Right? I didn't like that. I didn't like that. I didn't like it as much as I didn't like, my mother singing along with Doris Day. But yes, may they both rest in peace. My name is Frank Cotolo, man whose name, who adorns the title of the show, Cotolo Chronicles. You're welcome for the wonderful radio. This is wonderful radio. I don't know how else to put it. And you know, talk about, oh boy, talk about, James Cagney playing a real person in, Yankee Doodle Dandy, playing George M. Cohen, last year? I don't know. I didn't see the movie, but people who have seen the movie I'm going to mention, to you, liked it a lot. I don't know what was fiction or not fiction. Bohemian Rhapsody. And, Freddie Mercury. I don't know if that was his real last name. What are the facts here? Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. What are the facts? Well, that was such a hit. And I don't know this. I'm not giving you false information or what have you, but I imagine in the time span, you know, they started making movies. They want to start making movies about generational movies, about personalities, real people, and make it into a movie. How do you tell a story of a person's life or part of their life in 2 hours? I don't know. But, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody and the concentration on Freddie Mercury, I don't even know the other names of the people in Queen. I don't know them. But we all know Freddie Mercury, I'm sure. That was such an incredible hit. And by incredible, I mean it. Like, nobody expected it to make as much money as it did. No less get the acclaim it received. No less make the money it did. No less, mean an Oscar for the guy who played Freddie Mercury, who, by the way, I know for a fact. I'm going to give you a fact here. Entertainment people. I heard this on. Maybe you heard already on Entertainment Tonight. Well, I don't know his name. Rami. It's Rami or Remy something? Rami. He's going to be the villain in the next James Bond movie coming out in 2020. He's playing the villain. I don't know. We don't know much about it anyway. But they leak out little pieces while they while they're shooting it. But that's not what I'm brought up Freddie Mercury about, because they did the Freddie Mercury thing, and of course everybody loved that. Eventually I'll see it on one of the streaming TV things, but I'm not going to pay for it. It's just my own preference. Thank you very much. Thank you. But I saw a trailer for a movie called Rocket Man. Rocket Man. And I went, oh no. Oh no. And I was right when I go, oh no. It's Elton John. So apparently they're looking for these movies that will, that are going to bring out these now very old rock stars, or people who have been phenomenal successes. Although, of course, Elton John's still living, which we thankful. You don't want to see people die or whatever. You know, they didn't wait till he died. And he certainly, but anyway, Rocket Man, I said, oh my goodness, they did a biofilm? They did a biofilm. I don't know the guy playing, I didn't look it up. You can really find it exactly and correct at International Movie Database, IMDb. People who put that together happen to respect fact. So you could look at that and say, oh yeah, right. I found out something really interesting there, though. And I'm looking at this on, geez, you know, this really does make me feel old. I don't want to say make me feel old, but no, I don't feel old. That's not that. No, that's not what I mean. Let me say what I mean. It makes me realize that I have seen many things in the many years that I have been alive. And one of them was performance of Elton John when he first came to the United States. This is when I was still in New York. This is before, right? Yeah, it was. Of course it was. Before I went to Hollywood. And he came to New York and played at a place called the Fillmore East, which was down the East Village. The Fillmore, you might remember the Fillmore West, and this is history again. This, look it up. Three places. Bill Graham's Fillmore West was very popular in San Francisco, and all the popular groups played there. And then they opened one in the East Village called Fillmore East, and they meant East and West, and it happened to be the East Village with Fillmore East. And friends and I, band members and people, you're into that scene, I was young. What are we talking about? 67, 68, 69, 18, 17, I guess not 16. Well, maybe even 16. I don't remember. But anyway, Elton John, well, it had to be, older, because Elton John came in the 70s, so it was like 20. I was 20. What am I talking about, right? When did he come over? That first big hit of his was, anyway, he opened for another, performer. That's how unknown Elton John was at the time, opening for a guy named Leon Russell. Leon Russell was the main Fillmore East attraction. Opening him, they'd have an opener. Someone who opened. That was Elton John, who just had a hit. His first big hit. It's a little bit funny, it was called. No, it's not called that. It's called, Your Song. And so I went, wow. And here's a bio movie. I don't know much about Elton John. I didn't read much about him. So I don't know much about his private life or his, gay life. I didn't know anything. I don't know anything about Elton John, actually. So I'm good to watch this movie. If I do, when I do, same thing with Freddie Mercury. I read some more about Freddie Mercury than I read about Elton John. But, so watching these bio movies, this comes up. This, because the people, remember the young people now, younger people are making the movies and doing the things that older people used to do. The people who did this kind of stuff before digital technology took over the platform, the entertainment platform, and it has. Right? So the younger people tend to get things incorrect. And you'll see it in the movie, or you see it. So what I'm saying is, if I see Rocket Man, I'm going to go, I wonder about this and that and the other thing. And I'm either going to have to just enjoy it for what it shows and, not care what was right or what was wrong. And that's that. I don't know if I could sit through Rocket Man, to be honest with you, but that's another story. I would give it a chance. I'll tell you what I can sit through. And this, I can't tell you the whole story of why this is so greatly fascinating to me. What I learned from IMDb, International Movie Database. You can go, it's free. They have, you know, find out writers, performers, you know, people who win movies, people who win whatever. And that's, you know, anyway. The International Movie Database. We go, but listen to this, whether you know this or not. I mean, what I mean, you know, you don't know this, what I'm going to tell you, but what it's connected to, and I can't tell you why I was so excited about this, because it, you can't tell you. So what are you doing on the radio? You get on the radio and go, well, here I am, the Frank Cotullo, Miss Cotullo Chronicles, and I can't tell you. I can't say anything. It's a secret, and I'm not going to tell you. Now, I am going to tell you the fact, though. I'm going to tell you why it's so exciting to me. Right now, none of your business, and I can't, or I'll be sued. They'll take me away. I'll be sued, I'll lose, and they'll come in and they'll say, that piano right there, that's worth something. Take it out. It's ours now because you can't pay the suit. Listen, I don't know much about this, but there's a remake of a very old movie, which is classic. You know, it would be legendary because it's about fake people and people who aren't real. But we all know the original. We all know. We don't know. You see, I got so many, the layers of these audience that I have in layers. I got to say this thing. Anyway, Bride of Frankenstein was the second movie made in the commercial Frankenstein factory, right? Bride of Frankenstein, 1939, no, 33, 34, I don't know, something like that. It came out because the original movie, Frankenstein, was so popular. And they took from the book and they twisted things around and what have you. But here's the deal. Maybe if you ever saw a movie called Gods and Monsters, which is a quote from the movie, the original movie, Bride of Frankenstein. Because it's about, this movie, Gods and Monsters, is about the director of the original Frankenstein and the Bride of Frankenstein. James Whale. You know what's odd? I didn't even realize this. But we talked about Freddie Mercury. Well, we can't, and we're not everybody, because not Jimi Hendrix. Well, Freddie Mercury, Elton John, and now James Whale. Three prominent figures in pop culture who were all gay. So there. Coincidence? Yes, it's a coincidence. And it's not so odd, other than the fact that, you know, they had to keep it secret, but that's a whole nother idea. All I'm saying is that I read at IMDb, and that's a place to read stuff, all right? And, you know, when you read stuff, you don't know if anything's going to really come true, but you know that the little bits and pieces and leaks you're getting are true. They're remaking the movie Bride of Frankenstein, this classic terrifically scored, terrifically directed, this movie that has incredible layers of significance. And if Mary Shelley had lived long enough, by the way, there's a movie out called Mary Shelley about Mary Shelley, who wrote Frankenstein. And how much of that you could, I don't know how much of that you could believe, but okay, wait, I'm going too far. What I'm saying is that there's information at IMDb that they're remaking Bride of Frankenstein. I believe this. I don't think this is misinformation, because who would not be there? I trust the writers and the people who do International Movie Database, because that's all they do. It's not like these people are hired. Well, I don't know that either, do I? Well, I think so. I think they get people who are knowledgeable and who know where to get the correct information about movies and movie history to work the content. Huh? I did get water. See, I had to. I'm going to take a little sip here now, because you can hear my voice. Of course you can hear my voice. What I mean is, yeah, you hear us losing some. Also, I have a slight injury. And as I'm doing this show, I'm feeling a little electric shocks. I don't know why you feel. There's a thing. It's like an electric shock. You get it inside of a injured inside. You feel it when you have an injured muscle or some kind of thing, and yet it's like, that's the sound of it? No. I don't know how else to describe it. You just get this little shock. It's like a long, shock, you know. Like a long shock, you know. Okay, back to this. They're remaking the movie Bride of Frankenstein. Now, in the movie Bride of Frankenstein that they will be remaking in the original, in other words, in those words exactly, Boris Karloff, who is an actor who was known for playing the monster that Dr. Frankenstein created in only three movies that he played the creature that they created, which is nothing like the one in the book, but, you know, for all due purposes, you know, Hollywood did it again. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so listen to who's playing. This is what they said. And I'm sure that if they drop this name, boy, there's another word, huh? Dropped. That's a millennial word. I gotta have our millennial, our iGen friend on again. Remember that show? Okay. And I promised that this person would be on again, and this person will. Okay. Here. Wait. Hold on. Jardine Bardem. Now, you know Jardine Bardem from what? No Country for Old Men? That's his Academy Award winning role. He was also, and this is odd too, he wins an Academy Award, then he becomes a James Bond villain. He was, in Skyfall, he was the villain. And he's been in a lot of other movies. He's been in some, you know, he's a star. Isn't that odd though? I mentioned two people in the same, that's a coincidence? Yeah, a coincidence. But, Jardine, did I say that right? Jardine Bardem? Bardem? Is it Jardine? Jardine. I think it would be Jardine Bardem. Anyway. I'm sorry. Who am I saying I'm sorry to? I knocked the return, and I probably to those who are listening, that not live, and hear a gigantic boom in the stream. That was me. He's going to play Frankenstein's monster. And I'm trying to figure this out. What are they going to do? So fascinating to me. Just in general, I'm not telling you the other reason it's fascinating for me, but I didn't say when it's coming out or what's going on or if it will be able to continue to make it or if they're making, I didn't say anything, but I'm going to keep an eye on that and we're going to get back to you on that. I'm going to call some people I know in Hollywood still and see if they have any information on this, because this is really something I want to see. This is something And not because the original is perfect in its own way, but if they decide to make another one, I want to see it. What are they going to do? How are they going to do this? And if you've seen the original and listened to it, because it's got a great musical score, you might say, like, how are they going to do that again? And back then, I guess they'll use some more CGI than they did then. In fact, because back then they used, what do you say it? None. No CGI. Hear that? That's the new. Oh, that's the old or the repaired furnace and going on there. Which I don't know why it's going on. It's so warm. It's spring and it's warm out. Be in the 70s this week. Oh, look, now you're a weatherman. Frank, is that it? Me talking to myself. So how do you like that? Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't care. If you get a chance to see Gods and Monsters, it runs on, here we go. Cinemax, Showtime, Showmax, Cineshow, Netflix, Netshow, Shownet, Cineshow, Cinenet. You put them all together. I like to do things like that. Get them all, but mix them all up. Now, we've talked about, all over the years, we've talked about Snopes, S-N-O-P-E-S. Snopes is a place you go to try to find out if rumors you're hearing or if some of these things I'm telling you about, you know, you hear this news and you go, is that true? We're 16 young, young babies. Were 16 infants actually, did that true? Did 16 infants actually form a band and they're playing? You know, cause somebody on Facebook, other Facebook just filled with, oh my God, I don't want to go there now. Junk. Crap. I don't even want to put my opinion. I never did, really did a lot of putting my opinion, but I got sucked into talking to some people and doing some streams and stuff, and no more. No more. Wasting my time. All right, let's get back to what I was saying. What was I saying? I was saying that, oh, was that talking about Roddy Frankstein? Yeah. I was going to mention, oh, Snopes. I was talking about Snopes, yeah. Snopes.com. When you go to Facebook or you see something like that, or you don't see it, or you see it somewhere else, or somebody says something, you could go to Snopes, and what they do is they have, things that are true and things that are false. They say, like, well, this is going around. This is trending, as the word goes, as the description goes, for a piece of information or something, news that's going around. This is trending. And then you go to Snopes and you put in 16 infants band. And then it'll go, you'll find it. It'll say, like, no, that's false. Don't listen. And don't tell anyone else about it. It's false. Because there are people out there manufacturing lies, manufacturing untruths, which are lies. I mean, things, news and stuff. It's all because they want people. Some of them do it completely for jokes, I guess. Some of them don't care if it's wrong. Some of them want to spread information that is incorrect. That's the most dangerous. Those who do it, because they're preying upon people who just feel that if it's there, it's correct. And that is a lie in itself. You're welcome for the wonderful radio. And I, as I'm saying this to you, that although I've covered some of this stuff in other shows, and I didn't find the show. I can't find the show. I did done this like early 2000s. I talked about this, about watch out what you see and read and what you believe on the interweb. Watch out on these, any sites and stuff. Watch out. Look for, don't believe everything just because you see it one place. Okay? I've said that before. But this is the crux of this time. Because since then, so much more has happened. So many, there's so many more people on the interweb. There's so many more people on, that have their own sites. There's so many more people working on sites that present information, right? There's so much more. The volume is enormous. And I'm saying, think about this. To have such a giant, I'm looking for words to such a great passageway, let's call it that. The information superhighway. Make sure that information is information and not misinformation. How could that be? Here we have the most incredible tool to be used for good. And I'm not saying, hey, I know that, well, we got to get rid of all the bad guys, because you'll never get rid of all the bad guys. But you, as a person who uses the interweb, as a person who uses it for yourself or uses it to find out things, even if you don't have your own site or you don't participate in groups or whatever, you should know that there's a lot of junk. And I don't even have a percentage. I can't say, 50% of everything you read is garbage and wrong. I don't know. I don't have those. I just know that the crux of what I'm talking about here tonight on this particular show, or this afternoon, when you're listening to it, this morning, this afternoon, on whatever station or whatever stream or whatever going on, this is outrageous. Because, and maybe that's why, because it is so big. It is so enormous, is a better word. It is so filled with content. Maybe that is the very nature of so much that is wrong with the information. I just find it such a fascinating thing. The people at Comcast especially, boy, they should know. They should know that so much is wrong. I mean, that was not an isolated case, the thing about the Beatles doing Locomotion. And again, this is trivial, but, it means that in other areas, those people who are writing that, who are looking that up or making it up or whatever, those people they're going to be doing it elsewhere. They're going to be doing it somewhere else, and it's all going to be wrong. And Comcast should know. And the people, it's like, where did you get that information? If somebody in Comcast knew, where did you get that information? I told this story a while back, very long while back, and I don't even know how long is long anymore in terms of this show. So let's just forget about that. I'll just say a while back. And watching television news, and I heard on the local news the report of a death of a celebrity. And it was wrong. I knew it was wrong. And they were giving the news. They were telling you the news. And everybody was watching the news from the news. Oh, you know who died? I'm not going to mention it. I'm going to go through the story again. Well, I called them up. I called up the TV station. And I said, get me somebody who did the news, wrote the news, the anchors of the news, because they just said something about someone dying and that person is not dead. And, you know, so they were interested. They went, really? And I gave them the exact thing and told them. And I don't know what happened to the person who wrote that news piece, but it was so easily, you know, someone proofread it. Someone's like, wait, this is a person who died. Is it? They just went, oh, well, if you saw that, okay. Yeah. And this is something, if something comes over the wire and it's a celebrity thing, that's probably right. I'm sure the source itself wasn't incorrect. Well, what they did was they said, you know, we want to apologize for a mistake we made. And they corrected themselves. It was good. And I felt good about that because I don't think it should be correct. Things should be all right. That's not news. And I'm not going to use the phrase, okay, because we said it here ages before it became a popular thing. So the whole idea of things that are wrong, phony, I don't want to use those, okay, because the people who, let's get this straight. The people, a lot of the people, I don't know them, but the people who are doing the job on these particular sites that I mentioned, the TV news or what have you, these people are just being sloppy. Okay, these people aren't purposely giving misinformation. There are, of course, many, many, that goes to the bad side of people and hackers and, you know, and Russians and Chinese or whoever else does this stuff, spreading misinformation because they have an agenda. I'm not saying that everybody does it has an agenda. These people who did the music choice information, I'm sure they'd just be sloppy and they're not looking, they're not researching the correct way, and so it's wrong. What am I going to do? Am I going to sit around all day and watch this and see how many mistakes they make and then call them up? You know, I am just going to do things like I do right here and tell you that, you know, anything I see or read that I know is wrong, I'll tell you. And I will, I'll scold those people who, whoever they are, and wherever they work, who do it. You know, check it out. And, of course, the lesson here, there's a lesson. The moral of this story is, all of you, keep watching the skies. No. All of you, check. Don't believe everything. You know, there used to be a phrase, actually, a long time ago, when there wasn't the whole digital platform. Excuse me. You know, that's my sauce coming up from dinner. Sauce? Yeah. People used to say, darn, what do you, don't believe everything you read in the newspapers. That was like that's what I'm talking about. It was one of those phrases, you know, like, you know what I mean? Don't believe everything you read. People would say that. And those very people who said that, you know, use it for their own device. They didn't use it because they were so concerned that the information was incorrect. They said it when, you know, somebody said something they didn't like. What'd you read that in a newspaper? Well, don't believe everything you read in a newspaper. And that, of course, turned into, don't believe everything you hear on the radio. I don't believe everything, you know, so eventually it's like, don't believe everything you're reading on Encyclopedia Britannica, if that's it's a brand name, but, you know, don't believe everything you're reading in a dictionary. Don't believe, it's like, you know, come on, hey, you know, when it comes to things you read, even then things can be incorrect. Yeah, you know, and it's right. Don't believe it, but don't say that. But so in other words, what I'm saying is that people back then had the same misconceptions with things in print and things on television and radio. This is all they had. They didn't have the digital world, the interweb and all that stuff. So there's that. And I think that's an important thing for us to all learn on here. Let's review. And then get the hell out of here, because, you know, we're not going to just regurgitate same stuff. We'll just review. Here are the things you should put in your Cotolo Chronicles notebook. Things that maybe you want to look up, and I really think you should, for pop culture's sake. And because if it comes up, you'll know the truth. Someone comes up to you and says that James Cagney, you know, he used to play, he once played George Washington in a movie I saw. You're like, no, he never played George Washington. I'm not saying you need to, you need to suddenly become adept at knowing the career of James Cagney. I'm just saying, he didn't. He played George M. Cohen. You get the wrong guy. You'd know it's true. Maybe something more, because the stuff is happening with current things too. We're not talking about going back there. So, but anyway, write these names down. Write these names or various phrases down, and you could look into what I said today. And if you read anything that is contrary to stuff I said that I knew was correct, please tell me. How do you get in touch with me? fcotolo@yahoo.com. Write to me and say, you mentioned this, that, and the other thing when I looked up this, or ask me a question, and maybe I know something more than you read. Or if you have a question about something, and use me as a source, because there are things I know for sure, and I will never give you misinformation that on purpose, because I'll never even go that far. I won't say things like, Jimmy Cagney, I heard he had 6 kids, out of wedlock. I'm not going to just say something like that. Would you ask me about James Cagney? I'll tell you what I know, and I'll tell you what you should look up and find out yourself, or what I'll look up and find out. Okay, James Cagney, if you don't know, is something you need to look up. And of course, you people who don't know what I'm talking about, I urge everyone to have a Cotolo Chronicles notebook. Forget about the type. We'll go into that some other time again. And that is a book. Then while you listen to this show, you write down names, because I cannot annotate everything I talk about. So I'll drop names and I'm using drop now, correct? Not like a guy, I got an album coming out, it's going to drop next week. It's going to drop, it's going to come out. And all of a sudden, something that comes out drops. You know, but that's how language works. That's how people talk, and that's how the language changes. Okay. So anyway, I'm telling you that you could find out these things and go to specific places. And as far as James Cagney is concerned, and even Jimi Hendrix, if you haven't heard anything, you could go to YouTube and just punch in their names. You could write in their names, type in their names. I guess we could say it. It's type. And go to various YouTube presentations about them. If it's not a song of theirs, it's something. But be careful when you go to the biographies and stuff, again, because there might be things in there that are incorrect. If you question anything, question it. I say question everything. That's what I do. Question everything. Once you do that, not only do you lose friends, and you can, not only do you lose friends, but you'll lose friends. You'll find out things you don't want to know, or things that should have happened but didn't happen, or whatever, you know. And you'll find out where you're wrong. And I know, because there's still a lot of things I ask questions about that I'm wrong. So find out. Don't believe. Belief is an opinion. And an opinion, not necessarily a fact. Remember, everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. You want to write that down? I'm not the first one to say it. Don't quote me. I heard it from many, many people. And I don't know who originally wrote it. There's something you want to look up. James Cagney is a name you want to put in there, okay? You could look them up. What else? Jimi Hendrix, another name you want to put in there.
Uh-huh.
Snopes. If you don't know about Snopes, S-N-O-P-E-S. Just leave room when you go searching for what you want to know about these particular things you didn't know about. You can write down those, write down the name there. I didn't find out anything from last week because I have many things to do and I didn't. Of what it mean, of what this new Sirius XM thing is all about. Where, you know, you don't need a car. I don't know what they meant. And they have all these radio stations. They have all these channels. You could find that out all for yourself. What else did I say we were going to look through? Popco. Oh, Rocket Man? Write down Rocket Man or Elton John. IMDb, International Movie Database. Isn't that it? I don't even, is that it? I always get confused. IMDb, IMDb. It's international. It's IMDb. Yeah, it has to be. All right. That's where you can look up all the stuff you want. And when I talked about, you can write it down. Rocket Man. Write down Elton John. Write down Bohemian Rhapsody. If you want to know about these songs, write down Bride of Frankenstein. And I don't know if you'll get the information I got about the one they're making. Well, you'll know about the other one. You could find out about the other one. Find out where, you know, if you want to watch it. These are very not important things. These are just pop culture stuff. This is stuff that is correct. And now I'm not saying Wikipedia is a petri dish of misinformation. Because I saw... I think it was a 60 Minutes portion, episode. Wouldn't be enough. Segment. That would be a segment. Once. And the people who put it together are pretty, smart, I guess. They're pretty academic in the sense. But, you know, since anyone is allowed to update Wikipedia pages about people, places, and things, nouns, it's all Wikipedia talk has displays, nouns, information about nouns, look up, Wikipedia. I'm not saying, you know, that it is, but, you know, you might find something and question everything. I don't care what anyone tells you. Tells anyone goes up and gives you, like, see this? This is, you know, people like to say, this is the Bible of, right? They use the word Bible as saying this is the be-all, end-all of a particular topic, subject. And I'm like, don't tell me that because I can't prove anything in the Bible. So don't, well, you know, like what you're telling me that this book is the Bible of what? Of radio. It can't, well, if it is, it's probably filled with tons of things I can't prove or know about that might be incredibly wrong. See, because you got to get into belief. You can't, you can read a lot of good things in the Bible about behavior and people and whatever, you know, but I don't even know if half the history is correct. Forget about the God stuff. I don't know. But you do know that some things have been, you know, that have been proven incorrect. And if the only thing you could do is believe certain stuff. So don't tell me this book is the Bible of something else, because I'm not going to have much respect for what the something else. Because if it's like the Bible, then I'm going to have to do a lot of work to try to find out what's going on. And I know because I took a Bible course many years ago and I'm running out of breath. Oh, let me drink here. It's almost time to... In any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, that's a story. We're going to be... I'll give you more information in the upcoming weeks about the documentary, the Cotolonoscopy documentary, which is going to be coming out as soon as Ray Cotolo, your friend and mine, will be editing and working with Jack Cotolo. Both of them, of course, related to me. They are my offspring. They are my offspring. And the books, you know, and thank you people who have been out there buying books. You know what I didn't do? I didn't do the value pack. Well, we'll do a value pack another time. Bad off 2 weeks now. And we'll just, that's what we'll do. We'll have to put the big, yeah. I'm going to put the folder away, the magic folder, and move on and send class home early again. How about we do that? Can we do that? I think we can, because we've done what we can here. I mean, what the heck, right? I just turned the mic off and I talked. Jeez.
Schmuck, schmuck!
Go figure that one out. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And you know where to go and what to do, CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. If you want to friend me on Facebook, okay, but you're not going to get a lot of talk. You want to talk to me or write things, fcotolo@yahoo.com. Good night, Mrs. Erstwhile, wherever you may be located. If you go and buy License to Skill, my book at Amazon, you'll know what I'm talking about with Mrs. Erstwhile and all the other stuff. Well, I don't know about all the other stuff, but anyway, we'll try and be back next week with more things. We're going to have some guests eventually. You're welcome for the wonderful radio, and we hope you are well. Right? The rest of it is up to you. And with that, you know, I'll go now, because why? I have nothing more to say. Thank you.